Good matchup today, as we've got Logan Webb going against Pablo Lopez, two good right-handed pitchers who I say will both be on the National League All-Star team this year. Bruce Jenkins, good morning. How are you?
Good, Marty. Yeah, that's a really good matchup. I mean, geez, the Giants, Alcantara, he could be starting the game for the National League, and this guy, Pablo Lopez, he's got like a 1.83 ERA. 43 hits in 59 innings, 61 Ks, very few walks, and he's a right-hander, which is the Giants like that with, you know, Yaz and Jock pretty hot right now, and Vosler, so it should be really interesting.
Yeah, I love it. And Logan Webb, I mean, he went into the ninth inning in his last start and, you know, talked his way back into the game. They wanted to take him out and gave up the homer to Schwarber, but that may have been the best game that Webb ever pitched. No walks, 10 strikeouts.
Yeah, I think he's on the verge of a complete game or two, Kepler will give him the rope, and Webb's not afraid to say, listen, I really want to stay in there. There's no reason to come out, and I like that about Kepler. I thought I really like what he did with Jelly yesterday. You know, they had a big lead, but he's out there and he's kind of cruising. He's got a 6-0 lead. All of a sudden, he walks a guy. A couple guys get on, and he got in some trouble. But it was a procession of right-handed hitters, which I think was important. And he left him out there, and he winds up ending the inning with a really good slider. He strikes out Fortes, and he got out of it without a lot of damage. But, you know, he had to feel good walking off the mound on his own there. And I thought that was great faith by Kepler to let him get a little experience.
Yeah, it's been, it's fun to talk about this because Kepler is maturing a little bit more this year because he's got more challenges with the pitching staff this year with some young guys and a lot of bullpen guys. A couple of things happened. One, the Jelly example is very good. The other one is walking Harper to load the bases. And he credited Joey Bart with, convincing him to do that. And I said maybe Bart's real calling as a manager instead of a player. But, you got that going on. And then Doval, they brought him in the sixth inning, Bruce, and you mentioned the righties coming up. They love to go to pockets, as they call them.
Yeah.
And the game was sort of, as he felt, on the line at that point with the righties coming up there. And Doval ended up, giving up runs, and the Giants eventually lost the game. But bringing Doval in the sixth inning, to me, was the interesting move because he's a closer, and it's still a 1-0 game. Granted, it's the Marlins, and if you get Alcantara out of there, their bullpen isn't great. But
yeah,
that was a big move for me.
Yeah, anything a little unorthodox, I always appreciate. I may not totally like it, but I like when you can't pin down a manager to making just sort of robotic mm-hmm. moves, 100 pitches here, or you're only going to go five, or, oh, God, here come two lefties, or whatever. That was a little bit early. Alex Wood didn't really like the way it all turned out, and it didn't turn out that well. But I really I don't think Kepler's going to make a habit of Doval in the sixth inning. It was a situation that he felt called for it. But, I like the fact that Kepler is flexible, and he seems to be getting more so as the months go on.
Yeah, he's got to manage a little bit more this year. That was my thought, especially with the pitching. And you're right, Wood came out of there. They don't like him to go the third time through, and he was going that third time, and they got him out of there right away. But bring Doval in, I'm not sure Doval was ready, or mentally he was ready. And that was the thing for me. So it's a learning experience. But how do you like this Jock Peterson? First of all, what a week. And we touched on it last week. What a week. And somehow they dragged Mike Trout into the middle of this thing as the commissioner.
The Pope's going to be involved in this thing before you know.
Come on, Mike Trout, who minds his own business. And it's funny because we talk about Trout a lot, and you're a big proponent of Trout. Trout
sure.
got more publicity this week nationwide with his face and everything else than he has in 12 years in the big leagues.
Yeah, yeah, and meanwhile, Tommy Pham is like Mr. Fantasy Football Enforcer, We have no idea what he's hitting. Is he playing? But I'll tell you one thing. Don't mess with him in fantasy football. Don't stash a guy on the injured list, or he might come out and slap you. He's going to have that hanging over him for quite a while. But, yeah, Mike Trout's like, yeah, I don't know if I want any part of this, which is probably smart. He's the commissioner of the league, and now that all this stuff is happening, and it's kind of overwhelmed him a little bit, but pretty wild.
I liked his comment, though, Trout. Trout says, look, you know, I said, gee, do you mind that, you know, everyone's on you? He says, look, commissioners get booed. And he was right. Give me, there's not a commissioner in sports who doesn't get booed when they announce him.
Yeah, he's still far more popular than Rob Manfred, I think, among the general public.
But, you know, he is in New York. Of course, they got walloped pretty good by the Yankees, almost perfect games and no hitters and all that kind of stuff. And Ohtani got knocked around, Bruce, maybe the most important start of his career, you know, in New York. And the team has been struggling, the Angels. Maybe Joe Maddon's in trouble. But Trout didn't do much either. So on the big stage, both these guys didn't do much this week.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm from Southern California, and I was a Dodger fan, but, you know, the Angels were down there, and they've, in recent years, they've just been such a routine disappointment, and with the star power they have, I've just been really hoping they could rise up just for once. You know, they get Syndergaard in there, too, and they were neck and neck with Houston. Now, all of a sudden, they're 7.5 games out. They go into Philadelphia, they figure, hey, you know, we're struggling, but these guys just fired Joe Girardi, no problem. You know, two homers by Schwarber and two more by Harper, you know, later, they get crushed. Maddon probably is in trouble. Did I see somewhere that he thought maybe Ohtani was tipping his pitches in New York?
Yes, that was what he said. But, you know, mm-hmm. Ohtani, as great as he is, this is not, you know, Babe Ruth. You know, who, you know, was great in the World Series and, you know, really was a dominating pitcher. He hasn't really done that yet. But it was an interesting week for, I thought, the Angels, because Joe Maddon, his name is never on the list of managers in trouble, but you can kind of get that feeling. We've been around baseball long enough. When you underachieve and they put some money in the team, usually the manager pays the price.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know if you hold him responsible for Trout and Ohtani, you know, having a bit of a struggle. I mean, those guys are so great. They got to figure that out on their own. Although if he's tipping his pitches, that's a different story in terms of, you know, getting some help. But, you know, Rendon got hurt. That's a big injury for them.
Yeah.
They sent Joe Adele down to make room for Walsh, and the other guy was doing well. Maybe that's leveling off a little bit. The fire has definitely sort of gone out with that team, but you know it's up to Trout and Ohtani to right that ship. And I like Maddon. I think he's a good manager. He's a heck of a guy. A great interview. Really different kind of a guy. So we'll see where it goes. They're 7.5 out, and Dusty's team is steamrolling. They're 34-18, which I love that for Dusty. So that'll be a tough climb.
Yeah, that 7.5 number is one that always worries me. And the Giants are 6.5 behind the Dodgers because you have a bad week, and 6.5, 7.5 can go to 10.5.
Yeah, you're right on the edge of getting buried a little bit.
Exactly. There's some pressure to, you know, to win games now and not fall back. For that 6.5, 7.5, I never like that because, as I say, one bad week and all of a sudden, you're 10 back and now you got real trouble. What do you think of Girardi getting knocked out? Dave Dombrowski, of course, puts together this team of, you know, softball players, and they're all off to a bad start, and Girardi ends up paying the price.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I've never necessarily thought he's one of the great managers, but if you have a terrible defense and a terrible bullpen, where are you going? You're going to be 23-29, if not worse. Terrible defense, terrible bullpen. That's not a great recipe there. And that's, I don't know how that changes without some significant moves, but I mean, their whole outfield is a defensive disaster. I mean, given, you know, Harper is, he's not out there. He can't throw right now, but Castellanos and Schwarber and whatever, I mean, it's really bad, and they can't get anybody out in the late innings. So, I mean, there's only so many NOLA starts that you can get. It's too bad because the team, you know, like as we saw yesterday, you know, when they get hot, they're just the offense is fantastic. It really is a fun watching Schwarber and Harper up there. But as we know, you know, that only carries you so far. You got to pitch and you got to pick up the ball.
Well, especially in that division. Now the Dodgers are helping that division by knocking the Mets off a couple of games, and they've got another one, obviously two more coming up with them. And Atlanta's won a few in a row now. And you know, it doesn't take much to get, you know, look, we've got 4 months to go. It doesn't take much to get back in the race. and maybe this will jumpstart the Phillies. You know, usually when you may change, you know, sort of the stern guy for maybe the people guy, usually that, you know, that's where we're looking.
Right. Yeah, I don't know anything about Rob Thompson, but he's in a position to be at least a temporary hero in Philadelphia. If they get back in the race, he's going to get a lot of credit. Probably should be spread around a little more, but we'll see.
What do you think of the Marlins, watching them? Alcantara obviously was fabulous on Thursday night.
Yeah.
Last night was the second day back from Colorado, and they paid the price with the home run machine, Eliezer Hernandez. 18 homers, Bruce, in 48 innings.
Oh,
you know,
give
the guy 150 innings, he'll give up 70 home runs. So what do you think? Because today, obviously, we touched on it, but what do you think of the Marlins?
Well, I wouldn't say that they're a threat. I mean, they're way below 500. They're 12 games out. But I mean, you get Alcantara and Pablo Lopez back to back. There go the first two games of a series. Possibly they have a kid Cabrera that the Giants are not seeing in this series. They just miss him. He's coming off a great outing. They really have tremendous pitching. It looks like it's absolutely for real. And then they got a guy named Jesus who hit the ball 496 feet the other day. So
he did.
The longest home run of the year for Jesus Santos. So, I don't think their lineup isn't terribly intimidating. But they do pitch. The Phillies would love to have a couple of those guys on the staff.
Yeah, and Aguilar is their big bat, and the Giants have figured him out. I watched. This is the sixth game between these two teams. The Giants lead the series 3-2. And they just jam him. They jam him every pitch. They take the bat out of his hands. And he got the double off of Duvall. But other than that, he hasn't had a big hit in the six games.
Yeah, you've got to do that with him, because it's not a the lineup just isn't that stacked. You know, I'm just, even though we've been watching them, I'm still struggling to come up with a, you know, four or five names out of that lineup. But Jazz Chisholm is a player.
I like him.
He's definitely a player. He's very exciting. And who knows about Sanchez? He might come on strong. And if this kid Edwin Cabrera, he took a no hitter in the sixth inning the other day. If he becomes like the third ace in that rotation, just a little bit of hitting, and they're going to climb up.
Yeah, and Lizardo, still have him kicking around too. So yeah, they're a team on the rise. They just need to get some people out of the farm system to make it, and as some surprises. That's what it definitely takes. While you're on, you have such a good audience and people love hearing you. You know, we hear that on Twitter all the time. What's your take on the Warriors after Game One? Fans would love to at least get your take on it.
Well, there's one thing that I've learned watching the NBA playoffs for years. When you have two teams that are pretty evenly matched, whatever happened in this game you just saw is not going to happen the next time.
Okay.
It's uncanny, really, how often it happens. And now everybody's like, oh, my God, I picked the Warriors. I was wrong. They're going to lose the series. God, I blew it. No, you didn't. They're gonna win. I don't even know why they're gonna win. Well, there's a lot of reasons why they would win, but I just think they're gonna turn it around, because that's just what happens. The two games have no connection to each other whatsoever. Now, you know, if you get a sweep like when the Warriors won the whole thing in 1975, the four games were almost identical. They got behind the Bullets, they came back, they outclutched them, and boom, four game sweep. But this level, I think when you talk about two teams like this, I just go the other way, whatever it is. Phoenix crushes Dallas. I like Dallas in the next one.
Okay.
You know, it's just, I don't know why, but I would really be surprised if Boston wins again, especially because I still think the Warriors they've definitely got the most experience. They're at home, and it's just, I can't imagine them having sort of a two-game fade-out.
Well, pretty exciting. It's exciting stuff,
isn't
it?
Yeah,
very. I mean, it really is. It is for the, you know, it's like the World Series is happening here. And it's been pretty exciting. And, you know, the Giants get involved with it, and the whole area gets involved with it. So I'm glad that you could comment on it. We miss your stuff every day on something like this. A couple of hitting streaks going on right now. How about that? Have you noticed that Goldschmidt is up to 25, and I think Trey Turner is at 27 now, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'll tell you, Trey Turner, for me, could get to 50. I wouldn't be shocked. What a ball player that guy is. Sprays the ball over the place. He runs like the wind and all this. Then he'll just homer. He'll jack one out. He'll hit 25 homers for you. And I tell you, he's going to be a free agent, I think, next year. I would do anything to hang on to that guy because he's so perfect in that lineup with all the different kind of offensive weapons they have. He's just he's very distinctive and very, very – he's stylish. The fans love him. Goldschmidt, I mean, it's a really impressive when a guy, you know, he's one of the great power hitters of our time. When he gets a big hitting streak, it just speaks to his ability as a hitter in general. I'm not sure what his hitting or what his numbers are. Obviously, they have to be really good, but I think it used to be you could kind of get him on that low and away, you know, slider, and he's either laying off a lot of them or he'll take them the other way. He's got good power the other way, and he's just he's another guy that, you know, as the Giants fans really well know, you don't get surprised by anything he does. I'm going to say he levels off at 32 and Turner at 42.
Wow. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, think about it. It's so hard to get a hit in consecutive games. I mean, DiMaggio, 56, and Pete Rose, what, got up to 40 or something, 44. Molitor was up there. But to even get to the 30s, it's really something to do that.
Didn't DiMaggio have a 61-game hitting streak in the Pacific Coast League?
Yes.
Which
yeah,
in those days was very close to the major league in caliber.
Well,
61.
And after he had his 56, and you've talked about Ken Keltner, the great third baseman for the Indians who stopped the streak. But then he went out and hit in like 16 more in a row.
Yeah, that Keltner, DiMaggio just crushed a couple of balls at Keltner in that game where he didn't get a hit. I mean, it's not like he suddenly wasn't hitting anymore. Yeah, just that kind of consistency and greatness is truly, truly mind-blowing.
Yeah, boy, baseball, there's a story everywhere. Isn't it funny? You look at teams, whatever it is, there's always a story somewhere.
Well, somebody named Thomas hit three homers yesterday. Lane Thomas, or who is this guy? I forget who he even plays for. I was watching the highlights last night. Are you familiar with this guy?
I didn't see it, no.
His name is Lane Thomas. He hit three homers, for heaven's sake.
All right, we'll have to look that up. Well, Brendan Rodgers hit three the other day.
Yeah.
You know, it made me think about Colorado for a second. Look, here's the Marlins. 13, 14, 11, 13, 12. Maybe the stats, you know, for Hall of Fame stats, and I know Larry Walker got in, and Helton is one that gets argued about all the time. Maybe the stats are really, really, really affected by Colorado, and we have to take that into consideration.
Well, yeah, they are. I think people thought hard about that when they were thinking about Larry Walker and the Hall of Fame, and, you know, Todd Helton's still not there. It's definitely a factor. Maybe Jesus Sanchez's ball only goes 436. It's not, you know, not mile high. I don't know. I always like the variety of ballparks. I like that there are spacious parks where the hitters say, "Oh man, this is too tough to hit." The Giants, one of them, they moved the fences back in Baltimore. But then you got a park like Philly and Cincinnati, or bandboxes in Colorado. Oh my God, who knows what happens there? I like the variety. Mm-hmm. You know, we lost that in the 70s when the ballparks all looked the same. They all had AstroTurf. They were multi-purpose. It's 330, 365, 410, whatever, symmetrical, and just a crashing bore. And I'll take it. It's a little different. But, by the way, Lane Thomas played for the Nationals. He had three homers against the Reds yesterday.
All right, very good. All right. My guy Ashcraft pitched a good game on the night before last, I think. He pitched another nice game. He was the one who pitched the game like Milt Wilcox pitched. We talked about that last week for the Reds.
Yeah.
I liked it. Yeah, he had another good one, and they go with Malley today. Malley may get traded. You know, if the Giants look for a starting pitcher, the Reds are out there. You know, Malley is a guy that people are talking about.
Yeah, and, you know, Castillo is a guy the Giants had.
Yeah.
That was a very tough guy to give up. Was that the McGehee trade?
Probably, yeah, to the Brian. Marlins, yeah.
Yeah, really a particularly awful deal. I mean, Castillo has great stuff. He's been a little bit up and down, but he had a really good start just recently. He'd be a really good pickup. He's got tremendous stuff, and, you know, right-hander. And, yeah, the Reds, even though they've been a little decimated. They still have plenty of talent,
yeah,
and they'll surprise you.
A lot of injuries. Well, let's look at one historical note today on June 4th. Kurt Flood makes his first error, Bruce. How about this? And we don't talk enough about Kurt Flood and what a great fielder he was. 568 chances over 227 games. He made his first error today in 1967, which, of course, was a fabulous year for Orlando and the Cardinals. And, of course, they won the World Series. So go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kurt Flood, I mean, you know, they were talking his prime in the 60s. A lot of people in the National League put him on a par with Mays as a center fielder, which is pretty much is, you know, the greatest compliment you can get. But I mean, the center fielders of that time for Flood to have that kind of status. I mean, you had Mickey Mantle, Veda Pinson, you had Paul Blair, you know, Willie Davis, Jim Landis, you know, Amos Otis and Billy Bruton. I mean, all these guys. I mean, they were some really good center fielders and Floods really seemed to rise. Of course, that stat is fantastic, but he was very, very, very. You know, I put him on a par with Mays and Paul Blair. I think those are the guys that I remember the most. But he was just great, and you know, I think you know he made a terrible mistake in the 68 World Series. It went down to Game 7. It was Bob Gibson's game against the Tigers, and tight game, and Jimmy Northrup hit a liner to center, and Flood misjudged it, and as he started to go back, he slipped, and oh my gosh! And that's the game got away, and so did the world title, and he, you know, Flood had to live with that. But yeah, you know, what a ball player, and also you know a solid 300 hitter, and really has a case for Cooperstown when you add the fact that his long fight against you know getting rid of baseball's reserve clause, which was cost him everything, really cost him the tail end of his career, as well as his mental well-being. You know, he began drinking heavily and had to go into rehab. His life was turned into a shambles, but, you know, that fight was eventually won, you know, through guys like Master Smith and Dave McNally and all the cases that followed his, which sort of broke through the ownership's, you know, he called it indentured servitude of Major League ballplayers, so... Kurt Flood is a very, very influential man, and you know, a very thoughtful, artistic guy. He was a wonderful painter, and he definitely should not be forgotten. I know that he's in the Bay Area Sports Hall of Fame, but we need to get him in the big one.
Yeah, and plus a Bay Area guy, obviously.
Out of Oakland.
Yep, very important. Boy, I'm glad we could talk about Kurt Flood today. That's good. Boy, a lot to talk about tomorrow. We've got Kumar Rocker pitches tonight, Bruce, in the Frontier League. So, remember him? Yeah, we'll see what he does tonight. So we'll talk about that and Logan Webb and Pablo Lopez. So we got a lot tomorrow. So have a good day, and we'll chat in the morning.
You got it. Thanks, Marty.
All right, thanks. That is Bruce Jenkins. More coming up. Jeff Idelson and Gene Fruth join us. The new book is out, Grassroots Baseball, Route 66. And Jeff is a good friend of ours, and Jeannie is a wonderful, wonderful photographer. And you'll hear about this very interesting book they have coming out. That and more coming up, KMBR 680-1045, the sports leader.